So welcome, a warm welcome. So, you know, Nikki and I, we call this a happy hour. And maybe you'd be allowed to ask, well, happy, how do we, I want some of this happy stuff. Well, what, what is it? How do I get it? That would be a reasonable thing to ask or to wonder about. Where does the, what is happiness? Where does it come from? And I know that there are sometimes it gets reinterpreted or re-understood or maybe just thought at from a different angle as human flourishing. Maybe flourishing instead of happiness, because sometimes happiness gets linked up with pleasure. Mm-hmm. And just the way that we use it in everyday language. And just to open up, no, flourishing is something different than just pleasure. It's has a feeling of growth, right? And a potential, and it not being stilted or stunted or something like this. So I think all of us know that you can't buy happiness, but sometimes we don't live our lives that way. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I just have to get the better this and the newest that and do this so that I can afford whatever I might want or something like this. But, and I think all of us also know that the happiness, the flourishing that we're striving for has always been within and is just waiting to be unveiled is one way to think about it. So I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but it's sometimes it's worthwhile to unpack this and look at it, some of these maybe assumptions that we have that we don't necessarily think about or unpack. And one is to recognize that flourishing flows out of having a meaningful life. A meaningful life. Then you might ask, well, that's nice, but what's a meaningful life? And B. Alan Wallace, he's a Buddhist teacher, not in the tradition that I teach in, but in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition. So I don't know a lot about his teachings, but I do know that he wrote this article about how, what is it that makes for a meaningful life? Because a meaningful life supports happiness. And this is some ways which we're all striving for or inclining towards or in some kind of way. So one I would say is, or I'm not I would say, B. Alan Wallace would say, and I agree with him, is to avoid harming others. This is one part of having a meaningful life. Just kind of basic ethics. And, you know, avoiding harming others with our behaviors, things that we do, things that we say, and even in our minds, thoughts that we have. And instead to be dedicated to cultivating qualities like awareness and loving kindness. So here we are with loving kindness as part of having a meaningful life. But it's more than just avoiding harming others, having a general sense of well-being that enough that enables you to deal with a certain amount of adversity. So you don't have to have perfect health. You don't have to have perfect resources, but enough of a sense of a certain amount of capacity to handle whatever life brings. And maybe if we feel like we don't have that, then that might become really important for us to take care of so that we have a certain amount of sense of well-being. A third element is to pursue understanding. Alan Wallace uses the word truth to pursue truth. I prefer this idea of pursue understanding. That is to seek to understand yourself and to understand the world. And we think about this maybe becomes highlighted when we think about the opposite of obfuscating or complicating or hiding or making up stories intentionally. You know, this is, does not lead to a meaningful life. All of us know this. And then lastly, to, as a support for having a meaningful life, is to ask ourselves, well, what am I bringing into the world? Is there something that is of benefit? It can be minor. It does not have to be a great works, but do we support others? Do we benefit others? Do we help others? Have we, maybe right now we're in a place where we don't have the capacity to help others, but do we have the intention, like the wish? And maybe in the past we did help others. We might imagine in the future that we will. So there isn't this imperative that every moment have to be all about helping others. But again, if we look at the opposite, to not be selfish all the time, so completely self-concerned that we're never returning the shopping carts to the place where you're turning them in the parking lot instead of just leaving them at a place where it takes up a parking spot, or looking people in the eye and saying hello when you meet them, or when they're a clerk at the grocery store, for example, or, you know, acknowledging that other people are in this world that we're sharing it with them. So to have happiness, part is to have a meaningful life. And to have a meaningful life is to have a sense of virtue, not harming others. Certain amount of well-being. To be pursuing understanding as opposed to just delusion or obfuscation. And to live a life in which there's benefiting others. At least part of the time, some of the time. So of course, we know this, it doesn't depend on our checkbooks or how our partner behaves or our jobs, even though those certainly do affect us and have a role, but to have a meaningful life, this can be a source of great happiness, well-being, flourishing. And so this practicing with love and kindness can help in so many different ways in this meaningful life. Part of the ethics is to non-ill will is loving kindness. Part of supporting others is compassion. Whether we actually are physically doing things for others or whether that we have the heart is open and is wishing, may their suffering be eased. Having a certain amount of sense of well-being, sometimes practicing loving kindness, kind of like tuning into our hearts, can bring a lightness of being. And this pursuing understanding, pursuing truth, is to maybe balance sometimes the habits that humans have to only notice what's wrong and what's bad and to kind of get stuck in the negative parts. And doing loving kindness practice can help balance that and help us to see the bigger picture, the fullness of what's actually happening. And there's some lovely things that are happening and we can see it if we open our hearts and minds. Living a meaningful life and loving kindness practice can be a support for this. Okay. So with that as an introduction, let's do some practice. So taking an alert, upright posture. And just feeling what it feels like right now. Just arriving into this moment with this body, the way it's showing up. doing a general body scan, just a general mood or attitude. Is there some real drowsiness or restlessness? Maybe there's some irritability or irritation. Impatience. It's okay. Just invite that in also. And then to do a little bit more of a specific body scan. Starting at the top and checking in with the head, maybe the forehead, the eyes, the jaw, might feel some tingling. Maybe you don't feel anything in particular. And the neck. Maybe tucking the chin just a really small bit. Make more space. Make more space in the neck. The shoulders, letting the shoulder blades slide down the back. The upper back, the lower back. Might be that as we bring our attention to these different parts, there might be a little bit of coming alive, waking up. There might be a little bit of relaxation. Or there might not be. Bringing attention to the chest. And the belly. And feeling the seat against the body. Whatever we're sitting on, feeling the pressure. Maybe the pressure on the upper legs. Lower legs. And feet. The arms and the hands. then just allowing the sensations of breathing to be received in awareness. Just noticing the sensations of breathing. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. And when the mind wanders, just very simply, gently begin again with the sensations of breathing. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, someone with whom we have an uncomplicated relationship, and a relationship that is filled with warmth, and care, respect. This might be somebody you know, or somebody you know about, or maybe even imaginary cats, kitties, puppies, dogs, babies. And feeling the warm-heartedness towards this lovable being. You might connect with them visually in an image, or maybe there's more a different way to use the imagination than just through an image with this lovable being. And allowing yourself to feel the care, the kindness, the warmth that you have for this being. And it can be supportive to use phrases as a way to bring the mind and heart back to this warmth and connection. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe we can peel into how cultivating loving kindness supports flourishing. Our hearts opening, softening supports flourishing and a meaningful life. Then to extend our loving kindness to ourselves, just like we did for the lovable being. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Recognizing that getting in touch with our hearts and our wish for goodness for ourselves is part of having a meaningful life. We can't have a meaningful life while we are closed off to ourselves or perpetually mean to ourselves, critical to ourselves. That would be a life that's limited. Can we open the door of kindness to ourselves? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then can we expand our loving kindness even further for people we don't know, for neutral people? We don't like them or dislike them. We don't know them. This might be somebody that's on this Zoom call that you don't know. Maybe somebody in the neighborhood you see on occasion. Bringing them to mind, this neutral person, somebody you don't know. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Having loving kindness for people we don't know can be an important part of having a meaningful life. If we consider the opposite, having hostility or completely not seeing anybody else. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And in this last bit of a meditation, what feels like would be the most supportive, most helpful for you right now? Continue expanding loving kindness. Maybe going back to loving kindness for yourself or for the lovable being. Or maybe doing some mindfulness. Then to end this meditation, feel the feet on the ground and the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of connecting happiness with flourishing, and flourishing with meaning, having a meaningful life, and having a meaningful life with having loving kindness as a support. And there's a number of different ways in which loving kindness, both for ourselves and for others, can be part and really be a support for having a meaningful life. So that we might be able to support others, including and support ourselves. So it can be helpful to talk about these ideas of the connection of these different elements and maybe some of your experiences with them. So I'd like to invite you to some breakout rooms where you'll be with 3 or 4 people. And you can talk about even the notion of having a meaningful life is connected to happiness, and that loving kindness can be an integral part of having a meaningful life. So it can be helpful just to say one thing. You don't have to say everything you know about this topic, but just to make one point and then allow it to go to the next person, and then one point and go to the next person, one point and go to the next person. Otherwise, it's just, you know, it often can be one person talks for a long time and then just everybody else scrambles and just gets a few words in. So just to create the conditions in which everyone has an opportunity just to say a little bit. This means you'll be doing more listening than talking. And why don't we go in the order of the number of characters in your screen name? And we'll include spaces as characters. So whoever has the least amount of characters in their screen name goes first. Okay, so here we go. Kind of a relationship between loving kindness and living a meaningful life. Oh, let's see, whoops. To rescue some of you that have been as people leave. I want you to be in a room by yourself. That's not nearly as much fun. Okay, here we go. Okay, welcome back. So would anybody like to share how that was in the breakout room? Any comments or questions or aha moments or something?
So I'm inspired to practice metta more regularly, and particularly for myself to help get away from self-judgment.
Yeah, right? This inner critic can be show up in so much. So, I mean, it can have such an impact on us, yes. And this practice can certainly work with that. Really can help kind of soften the inner critic until it just kind of fades into the sunset kind of thing. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else have a comment or a question? Yes, Fred.
I just want to say how consistently beneficial and moving it is to me to be in the small groups. And even though I know that there's always a little impulse to scurry away, and I try to fight it, and I'm always so pleased with the moments we get to spend together in that group.
Thank you for saying that, Fred. You're in good company. There's a lot of people who initially have this hesitation. And a friend of mine, when I first started practicing, and there would be like these small group discussions, and my friend called me a Dharma bolter, because I would bolt out the door like I just wasn't sure. I don't know, but at that time, little did I imagine that I would be the one putting people into breakout rooms now. But I've learned so much just. And connecting with others, right? It's so helpful. So thank you for sharing that, Fred. Kenneth.
What I shared was that when I send forth loving kindness to somebody else, it feels like I'm sending it to myself. It's a very similar feeling.
Yeah. It's quite something, isn't it? Sometimes we might think like, yeah, I don't know. It starts, the distinction between loving others and loving ourselves starts to fade away and not become so clear. Yeah. Thank you, Ken. Okay. Well, here we are. It's the top of the hour. So just, Kathleen, yes, do you have something you'd like to say? Or no, you're saying goodbye.
Saying goodbye. Thank you, everybody.
Just getting your head ready to say
right up there.
But just a deep bow of appreciation for all of your practice and for sharing practice and meeting one another in the small groups and supporting each other. It's a beautiful thing we're doing. So thank you, and bye-bye. And if you'd like to unmute.
Hi.
Hi.
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Bye, Nancy.
Thank you, Diana.
Thank you, Diana.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Barbara. Thank you, Fred.
You guys are so cute.
I can't get out of my Zoom. Help me.